Yeah. We just start sending them pictures from Vegas. It's like, I got pulled on stage at Magic Mike.
Send him a picture from Magic Mike with no context.
Yeah, just that's an open.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Finding Mr. Hyde, the podcast. I'm Allie, back with my co-host, Erica. Erica, we are 5 days out from Vegas.
5 days, baby. And we are going to see Magic Mike.
We're going to Magic Mike.
I'm so excited. I have wanted to see Magic Mike since I saw it came out in Vegas.
Same.
We're both sports people. Did you have any like rituals you would do before every game? Like almost like superstitious? Okay. Well, hilarious. My sister, their high school team, one of the traditions that ended up happening was watching Magic Mike.
What?
The day before game day, I swear to God, because it was like they were on a winning streak. They did it. They had a pasta dinner and watched Magic Mike, and then they were on a winning streak. They're like, well, we have to do it before every game. Wow. And it was like big time playoff season. So anyway, it worked.
That's hilarious. We're basically going to go straight from the airport to Magic Mike, as it turns out.
Yeah, listen, we have to make it to a show. So that's the one we could make. That's what we're doing.
I'm excited. I did a lot of research on like there are these websites like View From My Seat and things. I forget what all of them are called.
Yeah,
but their websites were basically like people like post like pictures from the seats that they had. They give reviews about like the different seats. So I did like all sorts of research to be like, where should we be sitting for maximum viewing pleasure?
And we got it, baby.
We got it. I'm excited. Apparently, they like come out into the audience a lot, and they like go to the section that we're in often.
Oh, okay. Let me ask you this: how do you feel about being pulled onto stage?
I would be so awkward, but I would do it.
it's a pressure thing where you're like, I can't not do it.
No, you can't say no.
Right? You're like, it's a weird. You're like, I was chosen. I don't want to ruin the vibe.
I'm the chosen one.
But I feel like, I feel like they mostly pick, you know, the bachelorette party people.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but you never know.
We shall see. So I'm excited.
It might be your lucky girl highlight of the day, Allie.
Oh, maybe. I actually forgot to do that yesterday. We shall see. So yeah, the next time we chat with the people, will we be in Vegas? Are we going to record in Vegas? The main pod?
No, we do it right before we fly. No.
Oh yeah, that's right. All right. Well, we'll be about to go to Vegas the next time you hear from us.
The Patreon will be talking about it.
Yeah, the Patreon we're going to record live together in Vegas, so that'll be fun.
So hear all about it.
Hear all about it. Yeah, because it'll be the next day. It'll be after we see Magic Mike. Very excited. Mm-hmm. So you had a second date this week.
I did. I had a second date with King of Queens.
Long awaited.
Again, great planning. We meet up. I actually ended up meeting some of his friends, which, I'll be honest, I don't hate.
Me either. I like that.
I think a lot of people get a little afraid of their like, oh, it seems too early. But I'm very, you know, birds of a feather flock together. I want to see who your crew is. What are the guys you hang out with like?
Totally.
And people were very friendly, very nice. We had dinner. And then after dinner, we were waiting. He was going to go back to the bar we were at that was not too far from where I'm currently staying because he had another friend in town that couldn't make it earlier, then came later. And so he was like, oh, I'll just get a car and like, it's on the way. I'll drop you off. And I was like, oh, are you sure? Like, that's fine.
You were going home at that point.
Yeah. Like dinner was over.
Got it.
And we had a nice time. The thing is during dinner, conversation and like, that part it didn't feel like it was clicking like it did on the first date.
And that's the thing is that like, I don't know that I've really experienced that where like conversation is what goes away.
Yeah. And it's not that it was bad or like, I'm like struggling to even describe it. It kind of felt like we were having the same kind of conversations as the first date. And then, you know, he like asked me like, how's dating been in New York? And I really don't like navigating that question because
I hate it.
Yeah. All I think is just like, what if I just was like, it's awesome. I go on dates all the time.
I'm out on dates every night. It is wonderful.
Right. Yeah. If I'm like, oh, it's great. I never pay. You know, I just get all these dinners. It's just so wonderful, you know, which is not at all what the experience has been for me. But
no. But on the flip side, though, you don't want to start like just having a bitch fest with this person. And now the energy of the date is like, fuck everything.
Yeah. And it was such a weird, like, I was sitting there and I just basically said, like, the frustrating thing of dating for me is going on dates and just not really feeling a connection with people. Like, mm-hmm. I would like to feel that. So for me, that's where it's frustrating. And I haven't had crazy, absurd stories. But like, it was so weird to be saying that. And then in my head, I'm like, are you going on another date with this man? Are you feeling a connection with this person? And I wasn't. And then I was like, well, this just feels like a terrible convo to have all around.
Right. Because now you're like, yeah, like the hardest thing about dating is, you know, when I go out on a date and I don't feel a connection with someone, like now, for example.
Yeah. Like I was like, oh boy, are you going to hit him with the script of I didn't really feel a connection after you
live
were on the date, like saying like, ah, I hate having to send that script, you know, and then like, I got to send
and
that
you're
script.
Like, speaking of which.
Yeah. And just. Yeah, there just wasn't a huge clicking thing. And I don't know if you ever do this, but sometimes on a date when I don't feel it's connecting, I'll actually bring up more serious topics to be like, do we also not align on some big things? Like, do you want to get married? Do you want to live in the city, outside the city? Do you want kids? Because on our first date, he alluded to like, if kids. He was very like, if. And then if he kind of was like, and then only one. And I'm someone that's like, if I have kids, I want to. Hmm. So it was like a weird thing that I kind of like brought that up again to kind of be like, okay, I'm not feeling the connection on this level. And I sometimes feel like maybe I'm doing that because it like makes me feel less bad if I don't want another date. That it's like, okay. You know, chemistry,
like
all this stuff.
I found a tangible thing.
Yeah, it's a tangible thing that, like, if I was using a matchmaker like you have, they wouldn't have even set me up with this person if it was, like, no on kids and I'm yes on kids.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had a guy friend I told about this. He was like, that's so in the future. Like, why would you bring that up so early?
Because what if we're in the future and then we realize we don't align on something huge?
That's exactly what I said. I was like, I have a friend that just dated someone a year and a half and they ended up breaking up because of kids. I'm like, how did that not come up? Mm-hmm. Even at 3 months, that would be like crushing to be like, wow, I really like this person. And neither of us thought to bring up some like real shit. Like,
right.
It just felt like such a difference a little bit between men and women, or like almost the mentality of like, oh, but people change their minds and da da da. And I'm like,
not on everything.
It feels like a real thing.
Yeah. Also, I think like you can have that conversation and discover if it's something that somebody has a hard stance on or if they're like open on a topic.
Yeah. Like it's not like I bring it up in a crazy serious way or whatever, you know? It's like, oh, would you like kids in the future or whatever? I don't know. Right. Maybe that is scary to some people. But anyway.
I mean, but if it's scary to somebody, especially because like, I know that as, you know, as if you are somebody who is looking to have kids and you're in your 30s as a woman, mm-hmm. that is not a 10 years away conversation. That's not like a, hey, we're going to kick this can down the road.
No. And I've already looked into freezing my eggs. Like I know you already went through it. And it's something I've looked into because of so many people saying, hey, it's something you really should do to keep your options open and to be on the safe side. So it's like,
In that way, then I would say like if that does scare somebody off as like too much too soon, then they're probably not on the same timeline as you.
Right. Or not looking to seriously date.
Yeah. Well, exactly. Yeah.
So anyway, so we have this convo.
Yeah.
Just the convo in general was just, it wasn't there. Like the first date I kind of was feeling this like, oh, everything else feels here, but my attraction isn't at the point that I would want to like kiss this person level of attraction. Mm-hmm. So second date, I'm like, okay, let me see if that part can grow. And then I ended up just getting like, taking like a hard left where I was like, oh, the just us having a conversation isn't like happening.
Interesting.
Right. So
bummer.
I know it is. And so then, you know, we're waiting for this car. And then while we're waiting for the car, he asked me, he was like, so will I be taking you out again?
How do you feel about that phrasing?
Well,
we talked about this on the Patreon, but like I actually didn't ask you that question.
I remember the first day he basically asked me that, and I thought I liked it. I was like, oh, I like that. Mm. I don't know. It didn't seem like pressure. He was kind of like, so we doing another one? But I'm like, maybe I liked it because the answer was yes.
Yeah.
Where when the answer is no, you're like, I don't want any form of this question. I don't care how you phrase it. I feel very on the spot.
I feel like that's often true of like, even like a pickup line in a bar. You're like, oh, if I'm into you, I like that pickup line. But if I'm not, get the fuck away.
Yeah, I'll laugh. I'll think it's funny. And if I don't like it, I'll think you're a creep or something.
Yeah.
The classic tale. I panicked a little of like, you never want to just say no. Like, imagine someone's like, so am I taking you out again? You just go, nah.
No.
No, no, thank you. Like, and then I just stand there in silence, right? And I also, and then this is the conundrum too of like, alluding to, you know, saying a line that's like, oh, yeah, I just have to like see when I'm free and something to stall it so that you say no later. In that moment, all I could think was, if you imply yes, this man is probably going to make some move to like kiss you goodnight.
Oh, yeah.
And then you can't be like surprised when that happens. And then like, are you going to reject him then? Or would you rather verbally kind of do a rejection right now? And so all I felt was like, if I say yes, he might try to kiss me while we're waiting for this car.
Oh, and I don't want that.
Right? And I just was like, oh, okay. So I panicked and I just said, I don't know yet. And like his face and his reaction, I assumed he took it as a no.
Right.
Because he was like, it's all good. He's like, I get it. He's like, I just didn't want to keep bothering you. And I said, I was like, you were not bothering me whenever you were texting me. I was like, I appreciate that you were planning and like, you know, flexible because my schedule's been crazy lately. You know. And so I just thought it was implied of a no, because I said, you know, I did have a really nice time. Like, thank you again for taking me out. And then we sat there in some awkward silence and I watched him watch the phone waiting for the car. And then being a comedian, I couldn't help myself. And I just was like, so should I just like get my own car now? And he like laughed and he was like, no, really, it's fine. You're on the way. I'm like, okay, great. So we ended up getting in the car, and then he was talking and we chatted a little bit, and I don't even remember what we talked about, but I remember just being relieved that I was like, oh, thank God there's at least some conversation happening. And then he actually ended up getting out near where I live. So I guess he put the destination as like where I'm living. And that even made me be like, oh, he was probably going to try to like at least kiss you or something. Like if he was trying to fully get out of the car and walk you to the door and all that stuff. So, you know, I gave him a hug goodbye and thanked him again. And just like, I did just feel like so bad.
I've been there, man.
Cause you're sitting there being like, it's not that you're not a good person. Like I just, we're just not clicking and I'm just not feeling this. And also like, you know, you feel like you get a glimpse of their face. They seem a little disappointed. You're like, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. You know, like. And I know many dating coaches would be like, you should have went on a third. I'm like, it wasn't there. I don't know.
I don't think so. I would have said that if you had the same feeling as you did on the first date, where conversation was flowing and you were really enjoying the time you were spending with him, but you just weren't quite sure if the attraction was there yet. Like then I feel like that maybe can build. But it sounds like you just like weren't compatible in conversation.
Yeah, it just wasn't clicking. I don't know a better word.
You were like trying to leave.
Yeah, but it's just, you know, it just like reiterated, I guess, the thing that I get frustrated in dating about. It's just like not feeling this connection and, you know, the classic just whoever you're into isn't into you. And then whoever's into you, you're not into them. And you're just like, God damn it. Can it just work? Can it just work like one time?
I know.
So, you know, whenever I go home, my roommate's home. She's like, how's the date? And I literally like laid on the floor and was just like, I just feel terrible.
Oh, no.
Like, I was like, I just feel bad. And then funny, she made a point to me of she was like, yeah, she goes, you know, it's interesting that like dating is difficult. And she's like, it's not like you don't have options in the world. She's like, I feel like a lot of times it's more you not wanting another date with these people. And I was like, yeah, but that's the part I get frustrated with, is I'm like, why isn't there someone showing up that I like and then I get some excitement for, you know? That's the part.
Yeah, you don't want to date just anyone.
No. Yeah. So anyway, the next morning I woke up to like a text that he like apologized for putting me on the spot. He was like, I feel like I put you on the spot. I still would like to go out again. If you would like to go out again, like, let me know. And then something else that was very nice. And I then had to hit him with the, I didn't feel a connection script, like, and thanked him again and da da da. But yeah. And then part of me was like, oh, I had to wake up to this. I felt bad going to bed. I'm waking up feeling bad. And, you know, not saying he's a bad person or shouldn't have done that. It just was like,
I get it though.
Yeah. But it kind of just reiterated the saying of like, if he likes you, you'll know. He'll be making the moves to see you. He'll be reaching out even when you go no to the next date. They'll be like, you sure? Did I hear that correctly?
You sure about that?
You sure? So I'm a little bummed. Great guy.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. So anyway, what about you? You had a first date.
I did have a first date. So last week we met the roommate. And so, you know, obviously had that whole situation. And then we had a date this past Friday night.
Okay.
And he picked the spot. It was a like place in between where he was coming from work. I was coming from home. So he like picked a place in between those two places, which I really appreciated, so I could walk there. And then we ended up getting food beforehand. So I like told him I was hungry, like on the way there. I was like, hey, like, can we get some food? Actually, like, I'm kind of hungry. And so he picked like this little Vietnamese spot where we got like a fast casual bite before we went to the bar.
Love those spots.
Oh, same. And we had previously talked about how we both really like Vietnamese food. And it's my like number one favorite food of any place I've ever traveled to is Vietnam. And we talked about that. I used to go to Asia for work a lot.
Oh, but a listener. He's a listener. Real one.
Yeah.
Oh, love it.
So we got Vietnamese food and it was interesting. So the dynamic was obviously very different from when I met him. Because when I met him, we were in this like high energy, you know, everyone's drinking. Like by the time we even met, it was like, I don't know, 5 hours into the event.
Mm-hmm.
Dancing, you know, all this music, crazy. Like it was a very high energy situation. And this was the exact opposite. And we were both coming from work.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was an interesting beginning where we were talking about, I forget what we were talking about now, but somehow we started talking about personality types. And so he was telling me about how he's an introvert and he's in a client-facing role at work. And so he was like, yeah, it's like kind of draining because I have to be on all day in front of these clients at work. And, you know, when I get off work, I just like kind of need to decompress. And, you know, often I kind of need some downtime or alone time. And then he very quickly was like, oh, but I don't mean like I don't want to be here.
Yeah, right.
And I was like, oh, no. I didn't take it that way. Like, not at all. And he was like, all right. He's like, I'm not always the best with words. Like, it's totally fine. Like, I did not take it that way until you said that, actually. Like, that's not what I was thinking.
Dude, there's nothing like going on a date after you've had a long week from work.
Yeah.
It could be a lot. You're like, I'm sorry. I'm trying to readjust to date mode and I'm still a little drained. And let me get this food in me and then I'll be good.
Basically, yeah. So it was a little bit – what was interesting is that I think that – he was trying to overcompensate for the fact that he's A, an introvert, self-described, and B, was like feeling a bit drained from the day. So he ended up talking way more than I did.
Mm. Do you find that's rare on dates?
Very.
Yeah.
I'm a talkative, excitable person.
Mm-hmm. And also, I weirdly feel like men are sometimes trained to just keep asking you questions. Like I can't tell you how many dates I've been on where I was like, look, I know someone must have told you get the girl to talk and keep asking me questions, but like even when I ping it back to you, you're just immediately throwing it back to me, and it's like, appreciate it, like you're keeping the convo going, but I would like you to speak more,
right? But we could, you know? We could both talk, that's okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So it like got to the point where I was actually kind of hanging back a little bit to be, because I was finding myself, he was, what he was saying was interesting. So like for a lot of it, I was like, oh, tell me more about that. And that's interesting, blah, blah, blah. But I did start to notice that he didn't ping it back. And what I think one of the things that this brought up that you and I talked about before is that I'm definitely giving him more benefit of the doubt in a good way because I met him through a friend.
Right. If it was a random man online, you'd be like, okay, you don't want to get to know me at all?
Exactly. Whereas like I'm in this headspace of like, oh no, I know you're a good dude. Like maybe you're a little bit nervous. Maybe you're, you know, trying to overcompensate for that or decompressing from work. And it did shift over the course of the evening, like after we went back to the bar and like we were having drinks there and, you know, especially because we were like sitting next to each other at the bar. So we were able to be like a little bit more in each other's space. And
yeah,
like it felt by the end of the night, very comfortable.
That's great.
Yeah. But still not like, I'm still like, I feel like he needs to learn more about me.
Okay. Well, I was going to say also, you know, he knows, right? He knows that you do like this podcast and social media stuff. So he also might almost be like, oh, she like has to do that and talk so much and or almost feel a thing that's like, oh, wow, this girl really can talk. So I got to make sure like I can keep up, you know?
Maybe. I mean, that's going to be the overcompensating thing, right?
Right.
And he did ask me a couple questions about this. He's like very interested and supportive. And
that's great.
Yeah. Like when he was asking, he asked like what I had gotten up to that day. And one of the things I did was film a sponsored video for Finding Mr. Height. And I was telling him about how it's one of the first brands that has rebooked a sponsored video with me, which is like really cool. Cause obviously that means that they liked working with me the first time and they saw value in it. And so they're rebooking and he's like, oh, that's awesome. And he was like relating it to stuff he does at work, which is not the same, but kind of similar.
Yeah.
So I do think he's interested in what I have to say, but I just think our dynamic needs to settle a little.
Yeah. I mean, it's only, it weirdly feels like a second date cause you hung out the first time, but it's like, it was the first like official date and, you know, and people get nervous. Yeah. Like you just, you never know.
Yeah.
You're nervous. So, it's a long week.
For sure. So the night ended and we had talked earlier on the date about going out again.
Okay.
And I think I said something. I was like, this is really fun. And he was like, yeah, like when I, like when you get back from Vegas. So he's going to LA. I think he might've left today. And then by the time he gets back, we'll be in Vegas.
Oh, okay. So you're just going to miss him by a few days.
Yeah. So he was like, oh yeah, like when you get back from Vegas, like we'll have to go out again, something, something. So got that reassurance. But then, so everything's great. Say goodbye. That was Saturday night. On Monday, I was like, you know what? I'm going to put my money where my mouth is. I'm going to like practice what I preach. I'm going to text this man.
Oh, okay.
And like establish the kind of the kind of communication that I want.
Yeah, you're like, I would like to chat and hear from you while we're on this, you know, missing whatever it's called, missing the boat, not in the same place, whatever.
Exactly. Ships passing in the night.
Yes, that's it. I'm like boats.
We're missing
place. So like, what the fuck is this?
We're passengers.
I'm like, some with boats.
Boat, hurry.
Some saying with boats. I don't know. I've been looking at TikToks for this episode. My sayings are all fucked up.
Yes. So due to the boats, I wanted to text him. And so he had a thing. I'm sorry. I said it was Saturday night, but it wasn't. It was Friday night. And he had a big work event on Saturday night with this client that they're trying to court. And so I texted him on Monday and I was like, hey, how did Saturday night go? And he wrote back. The man did tell me he's not good with words. He wrote back and said, and I'm going to say the punctuation out loud because I think it's relevant. He said, hey, period. It went well, period. Crazy week now until I leave for LA, period.
All right. To the point. Yeah, very, very bulleted.
Very.
He was like, let me answer each part of her thing. It was like, intro, body, conclusion.
Conclusion.
It was like a paper outline. Oh, shit. Okay.
and that was it.
That's it. So that's all you've talked?
That's it. So, you, I mean, that was yesterday. But like, oh, I wrote him back kind of like an inside joke thing. We had had a, we were talking on our date about emojis that we use in weird ways.
Mm.
Rourke and I have had this conversation on the pod previously about there's like a bunch of emojis that I use in really weird ways with my friends that are like inside jokes. And he has a few of those too.
Oh, all right.
And so that was one of the things we talked about on our date. I sent him one of his inside joke emojis that made sense in the context.
And did he send anything back or is that it?
No. No, he did not.
That's a little annoying.
Yep. Yep, it is. Like,
okay, well, guess we'll debrief later. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll circle back on this one.
Yeah.
So, you know, I did my thing. Now we're going to be on our boats for a while.
Yeah.
And then... And, you know, we'll see what happens when we get back.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, do you think you'll reach out again or do you think you'll just leave it like, next date?
Probably the latter.
Yeah. I don't
know. Unless there's something that like comes up that like, I don't know, if there's something that happens that I'm like, oh my God, this is a thing we talked about and it makes sense.
Yeah. We just start sending them pictures from Vegas. It's like, I got pulled on stage at Magic Mike.
Send him a picture from Magic Mike with no context.
Yeah, just that's an open. That's a changing the medium. I've gotten that advice before. Change the medium if you've been texting. Send a photo. It's like, well, here's a sext from a member of the cast. Yeah.
So that we'll see with that. And then two other like minor updates. Mm. One is that I have a new match that I don't know anything about yet, but I do have a new match.
From your matchmaker?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Wait, pause. Uh-huh. Wasn't there another match that you did get a bio for?
Indeed,
and basically, did you just, did this guy just never make the plan?
Never heard from him.
Oh, geez, really?
Yeah.
And she never heard about the one before that? He never recontacted her?
Neither of them. She's reached out to both and neither of them have replied.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Jesus.
She like, told me. Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, it's just annoying because it's like, hey, even if you don't want to date with me, like, this is a matchmaker.
Fucking say something.
They could introduce you to somebody else. Like,
yeah.
Oh, sorry.
She told me that she has been experiencing and other matchmakers have also said that they have been experiencing a much higher rate of like flakiness and disinterest.
Mm.
Recently, and which like totally jives with what I think we've been experiencing on the apps.
Yeah, completely. I almost caved and like repurchased an unlimited of dating apps, and I just was like, why though? Like, I'm already not checking the thing and I'm not into it, and am I gonna force myself to be into it for a week? Like, no, I just can't.
I know. So honestly, like, in some way, I mean, it obviously is annoying that neither of those guys followed up. Mm. Although I am happy that I discovered their flakiness before they counted as a match.
True. Yeah. Mm. Or you went on one date and they were like, yeah, actually, I'm not like really looking to.
Right. Like, or like they just said that they weren't into me, even if like, that, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
So I am happy about that. But it also did make me feel a little bit better to hear her say that she's seeing that same like macro level issue.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
With like all the people she's reaching out to. She's like, yeah, I've like gotten. Because as a matchmaker, she sends like cold emails essentially to people being like, hey, I want to set you up with my client. And she said that the reply rate to those emails she's been sending is much lower than it usually is.
Well, also, we're right at that 2 week before Valentine's mark, or when this comes out, it's going to be 1 week before Valentine's. And that is always when every man is like, oh no, the worst time to start a date with somebody. It's like, chill out, man. Like, what do you think we're going to do? Relax.
Yeah. So... Anywho, so that was my one minor update. But so I do have a new match. She has not sent me his bio or anything yet, but she told me it's coming.
Okay.
So that's the first thing. And then the second thing is there is a guy on Hinge who OG followers of Finding Mr. Hyatt, which is like mostly like my friends and friends of friends, will recall his nickname as the Viking.
Oh.
It is a guy that I matched with in the first iteration of Finding Mr. Hyatt in early 2020, before the Oyster.
Okay.
And we had a date scheduled, and then he bailed on it.
Oh.
And we'd been, like, talking, like, a decent amount. And he bailed on it because of work, but then he never rescheduled. And then I started dating the Oyster, and I kind of forgot about him. I matched with him again on Hinge which is the same place that we matched the previous time, although my profile is new. And I immediately recognized him. A couple of the pictures are like kind of distinctive and they're the same.
Don't you love that? Men just using the same pictures for years.
It actually made me think, I'm like, are any of mine the same? And none of them are actually, but like they could be.
Yeah.
Because like I kind of look the same. So like, mm-hmm. whatever. But I was like, I'm gonna hang back. I'm gonna see if this guy remembers that we like had a date scheduled. And we started talking. I'm like, I don't think he does. And so then he like asked if he could take me out to drinks. I said yes. He was like, okay. He was like, what day this week works for you? I said Wednesday. And he asked if we could play it by ear because of his work schedule. I was like, no, we cannot.
I would have just been like, oh, you mean like last time? I would have been like, this is the reveal.
I didn't. I just said no. I mean, I didn't just say no. I was like, oh, I'd rather like, I was like, let's pick a date when you like can definitely go.
Okay.
And so supposedly we are going to go out when we get back from Vegas.
Did you give him your number?
No.
Oh, I thought this story was going to be like, I give him my number. And all of a sudden he was like, oh, I have gotten your number before when he went to text you. Because I'm like, I feel like that's going to happen.
So I don't have his number saved. I looked for his name.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean we didn't text because there's a chance I just didn't save it. But I searched for his name and nothing came up. So there's a chance that we only ever communicated in the app. I don't actually remember.
Maybe. Yeah. I never save the numbers. Do you save the numbers?
I do, yeah.
How quickly?
Immediately.
Really?
Yeah, because I want to know who it is.
Funny. I feel like maybe I don't save them because it makes me like not overly like reach out or something.
So here's what happened to me once when I used to not save numbers. I have a head for numbers and I accidentally memorized someone's number. And so then it wasn't helpful when I deleted it.
Oh, damn. Yeah, I've never done that though.
It wasn't on purpose.
I thought you were going to say you like went on a date thinking it was going to be someone else and you were like, wrong number.
No, but I mean, that's another reason to save numbers.
You're like, this was not the 607 man. This was somebody else.
Mm. Yeah. So anyway, so I very clearly do not have high hopes for that date actually happening.
Yeah.
I mean, but you know, I'm trying to lean into a little more vacation energy, like a little more fuck around and find out.
Yeah. I don't hate it. So you're like, all right, let's see.
Let's see.
And I was going to say, I think the public pod, we haven't updated of JFK Kirk.
So their update is that there is no update on JFK Kirk because I haven't heard from him. That being said, I am still very much open to if I do, because based on the information that I have, he could absolutely still be not here.
You don't know. Yeah.
I don't know. And I said on the Patreon, but like I wouldn't be surprised if I never hear from him because the magnitude of what he's dealing with has like completely eclipsed his memory of a stranger on Bumble. It would be totally understandable.
Yeah, right. No, I just brought it up for just, you know, continuity.
Continuity. I appreciate
continuity,
you.
Continuity. Because we, you know, the fans want to know.
I don't know about you, Erica, but I have always been a PMS girly. Like that week before I get my period, even though I don't actually get a period anymore because of my IUD, the week when I would get it, I have always had just hormones all over the place, cravings, it's cramps, just all sorts of stuff. And it's been so much easier to manage my PMS with Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth.
So one thing I really like about this company is so many health studies they don't reveal has only been done on men. So I love a company that is actually making products not only designed for women, but is also testing them with women. Makes a huge, huge difference. Taking the Hormone Harmony isn't just for like menopause. I feel like we hear hormones and people think like, oh, that's not for me. But it can work for all of us at any age. Whether you do still have those night sweats, right? You don't have to have menopause to be hot at night. All right. That's your girl all the time. Racing thoughts and low moods, maybe poor sleep and feeling tired all the time, or the occasional bloating or gas. Hormone Harmony can help you with all of these things.
Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. And the beauty of those is they help the body adapt to any stressors, like those chaotic hormonal change that we're talking about, or any of those issues that you mentioned. The biggest benefit is just feeling like myself all the time and not having these like ups and downs.
If you're interested in getting something like this into your routine, you should definitely check them out. And we have a limited time deal for you. You can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com and just use the code FMH at checkout.
So yeah, those are the updates. And today we are doing part two of talking about dating theories. So first we have a little follow-up from last week. We talked about coffee dates and the theory that like you know, quote unquote, shouldn't accept coffee dates.
Yeah, a lot of comments.
A lot of opinions. Most people agreed with us, I would say.
Yeah, there's few that were like, nope, I only do dinner and blah, 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 blah. And yeah, to those people, I'm like, I'm assuming you only meet people in real life, but to each their own.
Have the standard if
you want it.
Yeah. So I posted a poll in my story asking people how they felt. So basically I said, how do you feel about coffee first dates? And the options were yay, nay, or don't care. And consistent with the comments, 54% of people said yay.
Oh, all right. Only
19% said nay, and 26% didn't care.
I was going to say, I'd assume that didn't care. Decently high up.
Yeah. So, like, if you think about, like, it's really 80-20 people that, like, are open to coffee dates versus people that are like, nah.
I know. And some of the good suggestions, too, came from people that were, like, sober or just didn't like to drink a lot of a dessert date. And I love a dessert date.
And I also posted another poll happened to today because I posted a reel. So I like post my AMA stories, you know, to my reels or whatever. And today I happened to have one scheduled that was about right person, wrong time.
Mm.
And you know how I feel about that. And so I asked people in the poll, do you believe in right person, wrong time? And then the answer being either I do or not me. What do you think? What do you think people thought?
I think this might be a 50-50 on this one. Because I think this all stems from personal experience of have you been in a scenario that you felt right person but wrong time? Like whether it was your wrong time or the other person's wrong time. But I feel like people that have been in that scenario are like, yes, of course. Just was the timing. Yada, yada.
I also think it's semantics in a sense because, so I will say the answer to the poll. 40% said that they did believe in right person, wrong time, and 60% said that they did not.
Oh, okay. Majority was no. All right.
Yeah. And I'm not into that phrase. But I think there are – so I noticed a couple patterns in the comments. One is exactly what you just said, that there were – I would say the majority of comments that were agreeing with it were doing so because they had an example of it.
Mm-hmm.
Always. Where they were like, oh, I met my now husband 5 years ago and it was the wrong time then, but he was the right person. And so when we re-met, it was right.
Okay. But my question there would be like, were you dating 5 years ago or you just met them?
They were in the examples. It sounds like they were dating.
Okay. Yeah. I've just rarely seen it work or happen. Sorry.
Same. I think it's the exception. Later. Obviously does, but like, I think it's definitely the exception. But the main reason that I'm not into that sort of mantra is because I think it like leaves you thinking about this like, quote, one that got away.
Yeah.
And that's like, it leaves you like hung up on this person of like, oh, it was the right person, but the wrong time. It's like, it was the wrong person. Just move forward.
Yeah. I mean, I've even had like just being hung up on someone that I didn't date for very long. And I've had friends that have, you know, been in long-term relationships and they were like, no, there were things that were bothering you that they're like, you just were still in the like falling in love part that you didn't realize like long-term. I think those would have been the reason it ended anyway. They're like, so you really saved yourself a lot of like, they're like, I already saw the reasons it was probably going to end, but ending in that like, you know, falling in love, honeymoon period is always the hardest period a lot of times when things end because that's all you're wondering. It's just like, but what it have could have been? And they're like, but if you knew what it could have been and you got farther and deeper, they're like, you probably would have ended it.
Yeah, you haven't gotten to any of the hard shit yet.
No, exactly. Exactly.
That happened with me and ASV, like in between, because we dated twice. And after the first time that we broke up, in between that breakup and when we got back together, I considered him the one that got away.
Oh.
And like in a way that actually that experience has formed my opinion on this phrase now. Mm. Because I considered him the right person at the wrong time. And I was not open emotionally to anyone else in that intervening time.
Interesting. I've never had that. I've never been like, this was the one for me that got away. So I'm like.
Yeah, I thought it, and he obviously wasn't. Like, he was the wrong person. We did not end up together.
Right. Yeah, I've had almost like the reverse of this, of I've dated people and we have both been like, oh, if we met when we were younger, this probably would have been like a 2-year thing.
Oh, interesting.
Like, we would have dated longer, but now that we're like in our full adulthood and like I'm actually like looking at people as like, oh, do I really see myself with this person, like marriage? It's such a different lens than like when I was dating at 22. So I was like, that's 22, or I met you in college. I'm like, I probably would have dated you for years. Like, because there was nothing pressing me about marriage and stuff. Like, that wasn't what I was thinking in my dates. It just was like, who do I like hanging out with? Who's fun? Blah, blah, blah. Like, I wasn't thinking like, do you want kids? Do you want this? So it's funny if I've had like almost the reverse of this saying where I was like, oh, honey, if we met at 19, yeah, we would have been, this would have been a, for a while, you know, kind of vibe. But
I would have wasted 2 years on you.
I know, right? All right. So we're doing some more TikTok theories here today. Some popular things people have come across. So the very first one, hit it, Allie.
If it's not a fuck yes, it's a fuck no. What do we think?
I agree with this saying when the person is giving you vague answers that are not a yes. Like someone being like, this things are really busy with this, I'll let you know. If you feel like you're the one that keeps asking to be like, hey, when did you want to get together again? Or, oh, want to go to this thing? And their answer isn't a definitive yes, I agree with this saying. Or, you know, it's a no, like, oh, I can't that night, but let's do something this night. Like, that's where I believe this thing.
Yeah, and I'm totally with you on that. I think I often see this applied on TikTok or whatever as like, if you are not fuck yes, all in, right away, then it's a no.
Yeah, that I don't like.
Me either.
Because I feel like that's like spark chasing.
Exactly. Like that's like putting the bar for a person that you just met at this crazy high place that like might not even be healthy for some of us to like feel that strongly about somebody that you just met.
Right. Or we've all been there where you're not saying a fuck yes to somebody. But you don't, but your answer isn't a no.
Yeah. And I think that's okay to like allow a little space for things to grow, but that phrase doesn't allow that.
No, yeah. That's the thing I don't like about it, is being like, you should be so excited and so amped. And it should be, you know, 100 miles an hour right out the gate. Like, that's what it feels like to me. Like, I think like getting married to someone should be a fuck yes. But that's like, I've been with you. Like, I know you. Like, yes, this should absolutely be a fuck yes. Like, I don't want the guy I'm marrying to be like, well, all right.
Maybe.
You know, maybe.
It could grow.
Yeah. So this is one I'm not saying 100% true, not 100% false, but I don't like the pressure of the excitement.
That's where I think I struggle with it. And because I more often see it applied in early dating about your feelings about someone than anyway else. So like, I don't see it as often applied the way that you first explained it, where I totally agree with you.
Right. Especially if you have not met this person yet and you're online. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Raise your hand if all your first dates from online you're saying fuck yes to. Nobody.
Like, no one.
Nobody is.
And quite frankly, the profiles I come across where I do say fuck yes, I almost never go out with those people.
Right. See? Problematic. Anyway.
Done. Adjudicated.
Yeah, that's one that, I mean, most of these, it depends on the scenario, but
yeah, that one. And that's, I think, the qualm I have with so many of these theories is that, like, I understand the need to grab attention on TikTok. Like, I understand a hook. I use them.
Mm-hmm.
But like a lot of times that leads to super black and white advice that right. just like doesn't leave any space for nuance or context. And like that's where we get into trouble.
No. I mean, my thing I always say to people is just if it wasn't clearly a yes, it's a no. Any vague answer is a no. That I agree with from like if you date men and you ask them a question and they give you some vague bullshit, that means no. That's yeah. them not wanting to be mean and say no, but it means no. So.
Yeah. I mean, case in point, kind of your answer to King of Queens.
Yeah, exactly. I was like,
it wasn't
ooh.
Like you were. Right. Because you could be fuck yes about going out with someone again without being like fuck yes about them as a whole person because mm-hmm. you know everything there is to know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. The next one I want to do, we did like lightly reference in the first episode, was the $100 bill theory.
Remind me what that one is again.
Okay. So basically the theory is if you had to work like, let's say minimum wage job, you have to work hours and hours and hours to get $100. You are less likely to spend that money quickly. As opposed to if you like won $100 in like a raffle or the lottery, you're likely to spend it quickly because it has less value to you because you didn't have to like work and work and work to get it. Now, this person then applied it to dating and was basically saying with men, if they feel like they have to work to get you, they are going to value you more, as opposed to if you, quote, hand yourself to them on a silver platter, or I guess they have you very, very quickly. So what are your thoughts on this theory, Allie?
Okay. I simultaneously agree with the economic principle
mm-hmm.
that is true. That like you are more likely to frivolously spend something that you just happened upon.
Yeah, because it feels like extra.
Yes, it feels like something you weren't counting on, mm-hmm. that you like you probably have savings. It's like extra disposable income. Like
yep.
you're more likely to frivolously spend that money than you are like your hard-earned paycheck that took you a long time to build up and save.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. And so I don't think it's like categorically untrue. By the way, I don't think this is gendered. I know the person made a video about men, but I think like this is more of a human thing that like I do think it's true that you value something that you feel like you put effort into.
Yes.
Where I'm not happy with this theory is the implication, first of all, that if you're not quote unquote making someone work for it, that you're easy and just mm-hmm. like handing yourself up on a silver platter.
Yeah, and it's an opposite extreme.
Exactly. It's like there could be things in the middle, right? Mm-hmm. I also don't like the idea that like we should be doing things to artificially make somebody work hard for something. There's a phrase that I've heard that I'm not 100% aligned with, but I think it kind of makes this point, which is don't play hard to get, be hard to get.
Yes. Like not playing games with like texting back and like stuff like that, the little games. It's like, yeah, make the plan.
Yeah, exactly. So like you can be a person that requires effort because you have high standards and you have a busy, fulfilled life outside of dating and you have a lot of friendships that you value and you're not just going to throw away because you now are dating someone. Mm-hmm. All of those things are like true, authentic things about someone that makes it so that somebody dating them has to put in more effort.
Right.
But not because you're playing games to make them work for it.
I 100% agree with that.
It took me a long time to get there, but that's where I stand on
yeah.
it.
Yeah, it's a thing of like, because I think of it just from my own perspective. It's, I will want someone more when I feel like I have to work for it a little bit.
Yeah.
And it's, but it's not in the game playing work for it. It's just the like, okay, yeah, like be available, work with a schedule, like just someone that isn't just like all up in your grill, hitting you up all the time, like it's like all of that way too quickly is usually such a turn off.
Yeah, well, part of it is because it's like, do you not have anything else going on in your life except for me, this person that you didn't know existed a couple days ago?
Right. Exactly. Like super, super available. Like as if I never have plans with another person. And right. I'm like, I'm free every night this week. It's like, okay.
All the time. Whenever you want to go out, I'm available too.
Right. But let me ask this. I feel like a lot of people take this with women and they specifically make it about like sleeping with somebody. Mm. Of like, you shouldn't give that part. Like, that's the part they're like working for.
I don't like
even
that.
More so than like all the other things of like texting them back or even like initiating conversation. I feel like a lot of times when this stuff comes up in this way, it really means like, hey, you sleep with this dude too quickly. You're not going to be valued as much, or he's not going to be into you as much because he didn't have to like wait and work for it in a weird way.
Yeah, that part I really don't like because I really don't like the dynamic or narrative that sex is something that like women are gatekeeping and giving to men versus like a mutual decision that's great for everyone.
Right.
Or hopefully great for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't like that. While at the same time, I am somebody who prefers to wait. I don't always, but I prefer to wait because for me, it's better when I have established an emotional connection with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And it upsets me more when something ends and I have established that emotional connection that happens with oxytocin bonding.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, not because I think that like he's not going to value me if that happens, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I've played this game a little in my head of when I am tempted to hook up with somebody, I'll ask myself, like, am I cool with, though, if I hook up with this man and I do not ever hear from him again? Or will I want him to call me tomorrow? And it's like, if I'm like, ooh, I would like him to call me tomorrow and see me again, then I'm like, well, this isn't someone that I can just hook up with and not care.
Fair.
Right? But in terms of this theory, I will say I did have Eggs Benedict, who I dated, I wanted to have sex and he didn't yet. So he kind of like had me waiting in that department.
Uh-huh.
And I will say I did become more into him, but I do not think it was because he wasn't putting out yet. It was because I was getting to know him more and spending more time with him.
There was more time.
Right. So essentially upon sleeping with him for the first time, there's also a higher amount of benefit of the doubt if you don't feel you have like amazing sexual chemistry out the gate. Because I'm already emotionally invested and I like this person. And so like, if we don't have this crazy, mind-blowing, great sex, it's not turning me off. I'm like, well, we'll work on it. More to come. Like
more to come.
You know, like I'm not at all bothered because I was like, oh, like I like you. So like I'm willing to be here and like, you know, be patient with certain things, especially like having herpes. I have to kind of be patient with partners sometimes of like them just getting comfortable. So like it's something like I'm not naturally a patient person, but like if I like you and I'm invested in that way, then I am. Like I'm very patient with the people I, you know, love essentially. But yeah, it's like I feel like whether I've waited or not waited, it's like I've had the same results that it makes me be like, does it matter? Does it not matter?
Same.
You know, that I agree. It's like there's many ways people can work for it, but I hate when it's like, you know, all they want is the cookie. And if you give up the cookie, you know, like that shit, I'm like, okay, that's a little archaic, you know?
Fully archaic. I totally agree.
Right. All right. So next one is the strawberry ice cream theory. And this theory basically is, strawberry ice cream is essentially, quote, a feminine thing. It's pink. It's not something you see a lot of men order at an ice cream shop. And so it's basically saying a man that eats strawberry ice cream in public, publicly loves strawberry ice cream, and also like would confidently go to a counter and order it loudly, not try to shy, like, can I have that strawberry ice cream? You know, thing is very like secure in his masculinity and, you know, doesn't at all fray from that, I guess.
This reminds me of Matchmaker Maria Stanley Tucci theory.
It's like similar to that a little bit, but it's like, I guess, a more feminine-esque thing. But they're like, a lot of times the little things in this theory, they're like, think are, you know, signals to the big thing. Or this is almost something I think of, like, I feel like it's not a thing anymore, but I remember growing up, like, if a man wore a pink shirt, people would be like, a pink shirt. Like, it's like, okay, everybody.
I dated a guy a while ago. He doesn't even have a nickname because, like, it wasn't like a serious thing. But I distinctly remember we went on a date to this like tiki bar kind of theme cocktail bar. And he ordered a, like, I don't remember what it was, but it was some like really fruity drink. And it came in this like really frilly cup with all of this, these garnishes. You know the type of drink I'm talking about.
Yep.
And I ordered something that was very simple. Neither of us knew what we were ordering, right? Like, we saw the ingredients, but like neither of us knew what the glasses were going to come in as.
Oh yeah.
And when the server brought it over to us, they just sort of intrinsically handed me the like crazy frilly one and him the like very simple one. And I will never forget how confidently he was like, that's not her drink. She didn't order the cold drink. I ordered the cold drink.
Okay.
And the server was like, oh, like I didn't, like, he said something about like a girly drink.
Yep.
And he was like, it's not a girly drink. It's a fun drink. And she didn't get it. So don't give it to her.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that.
And I just remember being like, I'm probably not even like retelling it exactly how it happened, but I just remember being so turned on by the fact that he was like, I'm like leaning close to the camera because I'm so excited by this story. Like, I just remember being so turned on by the fact that he was just like so confidently A, owning that drink, but B, actively saying to the other man, like, that's not a girly drink. It's just a fun drink and I ordered it and like, who the fuck cares?
Yep. No, I love it.
It was very hot.
Yeah, I think there's many things you could like equate to this strawberry ice cream theory. Another one would be like music. Like that like men admit, like they're like, listen, I love, I don't know, Meghan Trainor is a very like, yeah, poppy, you know, upbeat kind of girly quote unquote thing. But yeah, I've picked up on cues from men that both were like very secure in their masculinity with those things, but also very insecure in their masculinity in those things. And it's like, dude, come on. Yeah. And I think,
like, they think they have to like virtue signal that, yeah, like, oh, I'm a man because I, you know, I'm going to like all these reasons. Like, that's not what makes anybody anybody.
Right. Yeah. It's even like, oh God, I've never had a man say this, but I've like heard friends of like a man that like won't, you know, order a salad at dinner because it's like, that's a girl thing to order and eat. I'd be like, oh, so shut stupid. Up, dude.
Like, it's a girl thing to enjoy vegetables.
Yeah, it's a girl thing to care about your health and want to be healthier, you know. Anyway, well, that's our episode for today, everybody. So if you have any more theories you want to submit, yeah, fun part two. If you want to submit any more theories, you could find us at findingmrheight.com/podcast or any episode suggestions at all. Any guests, any topics, we're open.
Yeah, and I do want to note, we mentioned this in the Discord already, so they know, but we had posted a question box asking for submissions for an episode about polyamory and non-monogamy. We had a little bit of a schedule shift around, but we are still doing that episode. So if you didn't see that question box in our stories, feel free to submit your question at findingmrheight.com/podcast.
Yes, please do. My friend Rachel's coming on. She's great. She's also a licensed therapist. I love talking to her about this stuff. It's very fascinating, even for someone that is not a polyamorous person. I just love talking to her. So it's going to be a great episode.
Yeah, I'm pumped about it.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you all for listening.
Bye.
We'll talk to you next week. Bye.